and welcome to Uncluttered, the podcast where we discuss the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not just how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint to leave the chaos and clutter in our lives behind. Hi, I'm Leanna George, an author and former professional organizer living in Houston, Texas.
And I'm Angie Heitch, an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and home so you can focus on what matters most? Well, let's dive in.
All right. Well, today is Wednesday, September 9/11. And so before we dig in today's podcast, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the importance of today, a day that we as Americans will never forget. We want to remember those who have lost their lives that day and honor those who did so much, everything in their power to help those in those two towers.
Yeah, this is a day that we always want to remember in our country's history. And I just want to also say that if you're ever in New York and have the opportunity, I encourage you to visit the Ground Zero and 9/11 Memorial Museum. They have guided tours led by New Yorkers who have connections to the events of 9/11. Really inspiring place.
It's a beautiful. Both of them are beautiful. We highly recommend that. I just find it interesting how people can have differing beliefs about what happened that day, right? I'm not sure how you can deny what happened, but people have, conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff. And so our minds, it's funny how our minds can believe different things.
Yeah, it's true. So did you have something else you were thinking about believing different things about the same event?
Well, I do. I was listening the other day to a audiobook by Bob Goff called Undistracted. And he gave an example of how what we believe can stay with us for a really long time. And he talked a little bit about a girl who was flying on an airplane for the very first time. And when she got on the plane and got settled into her seat, she looked at the person next to her and she asked, "When would everybody start shrinking?" She asked that question, right? But for her, and this was, from her perspective, I understand why she's asking it this way. For her, she had only seen planes from the ground. So when she looked up into the sky and looked at those planes, they were so far away, they were so little. And to her mind, the only way people could be on a plane so little was to have to shrink themselves.
That's so cute.
People believed for a really long time that if you were going to fly on a plane, that somehow you had to shrink.
Well, that's cute. I love it. And I think that what a brave girl for saying, "I'm going to get on this plane and I'm going to shrink." And I wonder if she thought it might hurt or I don't know. I would have been terrified. But
right? Yeah. Story. Yeah. But when I was listening to that, I just thought about, I was thinking about just different things that we misbelieve or that we believe, not realizing it's really not the truth. And one of the things that I thought about were the seven deadly sins. Cause I was like, I've always heard of the seven deadly sins. You've heard of them, right, Angie?
Yeah, I have. I don't know a whole lot about them. I think that some of them are lust and greed. I think gluttony's on there, but yeah. I'm kind of foggy on it.
Yeah. And you're right. It's that pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Those are the seven deadly sins. But I think most of us think, well, those are listed in the Bible because there's that verse. Like you said, it was in Galatians. Can't remember.
Five. Yeah. The sins of the flesh. I think that's how I've heard it.
Yes. So we always think that the seven deadly sins came from the Bible, but guess what, folks? It did not. They do not. I mean, yes, there are sins listed, like you said, of the flesh, but they didn't come. They actually came from early medieval period as part of Christian doctrine. The sins that were mentioned, those seven sins, were considered deadly because they're believed to have the power to maim or kill the divine spirit in people. And so that the mere thought of committing them was said to be enough to condemn someone to eternal torment in hell. And so then the modern version of the seven deadly sins was thought to come around in about 375 AD. And then Pope Gregory the First was influenced by those earlier writings and created his own list of sins in 590. And then in the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas further elaborated on Pope Gregory's list, resulting in the version we have today. So they really aren't, the seven deadly sins don't really come from the Bible.
That's really interesting. And especially the part about they believed to have the power to kill or maim the divine spirit in people. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. And it got me to thinking about how certain actions or sins can kill the spirit in people when it comes to organizing. And so I thought today we could talk about the seven deadly sins of organizing so that people can be aware of them and try not to fall into the act of committing them. And thus, you know, causing them to lose their spirit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So just like we kind of had a disclaimer at the beginning of our 10 Commandments of Organizing. So we'll say we want to remind you that we are not making light of sin at all. We're not making fun of any of these topics. And we're also definitely not saying that if you commit any of these seven deadly sins of organizing, that you need to run to God for forgiveness.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
No, we're just saying that these are some mistakes that we have seen people make in their efforts to get organized, and that it can really kill or maim your spirit when in your organizing efforts and cause you to get stuck. And we don't want that to happen to you. So a scripture that I think is good to think about for this episode is Proverbs 4:25-26. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. So our goal here in bringing forth these seven deadly sins of organizing are to just keep you from getting stuck in your efforts.
Yeah, going down the wrong path. I mean, they can definitely lead you down the wrong path for getting organized. And if you've listened to our podcast episodes for very long, then you've probably heard us say these things before. But we thought by putting them all together into one podcast episode that it might be more effective for you. And so with that in mind, let's look at the seven deadly sins of organizing. And I'll get us started off with number one, which is confusing organizing with cleaning and tidying up. So this is a big one because I've heard people say, oh, I'm going to get organized this weekend. And then when they talk about, I'm like, oh, how did your organizing go? It was great. I was able to mop all the floors and dust, and I was able to do this. And so, you know, it's great, but it's not organizing. And so I think we need to clarify what's the difference between the two. So I went to the dictionary and I looked up the definitions for each. And so to organize means to arrange in a structured whole or order, while to clean means to be free from dirt, marks, or unwanted matter. So, you know, there's definitely some difference to them, but they're also the same. And I can see why people get them confused because they're both essential. They both require effort, and they both bring less stress and more joy to our lives, but they are different.
Yeah. I guess there is one little crossover. I just thought about this in those definitions, like cleaning said, removing unwanted matter. So one could argue maybe that decluttering is unwanted matter, but anyway, there is a distinct difference. I wrote an article ages ago in my paper that compared decluttering, organizing, cleaning. So, you know, and when we're organizing, if we're doing it right, we start with the decluttering. So we are letting things go, but then we are like sorting what's left, deciding how it's going to be arranged, maybe getting some containers, that kind of thing. Whereas if we're cleaning, the actions we're going to be doing are things like, you know, dusting, sweeping, mopping, emptying the trash, all that kind of thing. So I don't know if you've had this discussion before, like with cleaning, between dusting and vacuuming? I've heard different ways as far as like what's the right order. I always learn dust first because then like some of the dust, you get it off the shelf and it goes down to the floor and you vacuum it.
Right.
But then someone could say vacuuming like kicks up dust and then you got to wipe the dust. I don't know.
Right.
But the order of cleaning and organizing, I do have a really strong opinion about this, and that I think makes really good sense. I think it makes more sense to declutter and organize first and then to clean because, so let's say you're in the kitchen and there's a bunch of stuff on the counter, dishes and, you know, stuff you didn't put back after you cooked or things that just landed there, just how that happens in life. Do you want, you're going to want to pick all that stuff up first, then you can, you know, clean the counter and the sink and all that. You know, if you're in the bedroom and you've got piles of clothes on the floor, that happens. You're going to want to, you know, gather those up, sort, put away, throw in the washer, whatever. Then you'll be better able to vacuum. So we always say declutter and organize first, then clean.
Right. Yes. Yes. And so, you know, just keep in mind that those two are the same, but they're different. And so we bought a t-shirt when we were traveling through Asia. It says same, same, but different. Okay. And so think about when you think about those two tasks, same, same, but different. So, and that comes from when you go through these Asian markets and the guys are, you know, I'm like, they'll show you a purse or something. I'm like, is this the real thing? And they're like, no, it's same, same, but different.
I was wondering where that phrase came from. That's great.
Yep. That's where we get it from. So, all right. So now that we've cleared up those confusions, let's move on to sin number two, buying bins before you declutter or even start. So it's a big mistake people make. Mm-hmm. And we understand because it can be so tempting, so, so tempting to go and buy the bins that you think will make you organized. But when you buy before you're ready, it can be problematic.
Yes. It really is hard not to do it though, especially if you're shopping around the first of the year, because all those containers are out there. Or if you happen to be like me, I don't have a container store in my town. So if I'm visiting a town that has a container store, I'm going to go check it out. And I walk around and it's just, oh my gosh, it's all so beautiful. But try not to buy unless I have a specific need. And the reason that you don't want to buy first is because, again, if you're doing things correctly, your first step in this organizing process, you're going to get rid of things. And until you get rid of what you don't need, and then you know how much you have left and how you're, you know, you can sort to see what things go together and all that, only then do you really know what you want. So please wait to go to the store or to order on Amazon or whatever until you've done the jobs of sorting, decluttering, arranging, all that.
All right. So yeah, it's like Julia Roberts in that movie, Pretty Woman, when she is going on that shopping spree and she's coming back and she's in that beautiful white hat and that beautiful outfit. And she looks at that lady and asks her if she works on commission, and she holds up those bags and she's like, big mistake, big, huge. You know, so if you go and buy those bins before, it can be a big mistake. So please, please wait off. But another big mistake that you can make goes along with sin number three, which is not having a plan before you start.
Yes, absolutely. So you know what they say, if you fail to plan, plan to fail. That is a huge mistake. And you don't have to have some complex plan with a ton of steps and a PowerPoint. We're just talking about taking some time before you begin to, you know, when am I going to do this? I need to make arrangements for my small kids. What space am I going to take? What goals? That kind of thing. When I would start working with clients, I love to start with asking these questions. Think about the space you're going to work on. What's working and what's not working about this space? And then so that helps you make some decisions. And then my favorite question is always, if we could wave a magic wand and this space was exactly what you wanted, what would it look like and how would it function? So just take some time to make those plans and you'll be much better off.
Yeah. I've known people who've started without a plan and ended up with more mess than they had before. you know? So, and that causes even more frustration and maybe even some depression, right? Because we're like, oh, I'm back in my mire and mess. So please take a few minutes and come up with a plan. Like Angie said, it does not have to be some detailed PowerPoint presentation, but you'll be so glad you did. It'll make a big difference.
Yeah. And if you need instructions for that, we've got episodes from previous seasons where we talk about all those steps for getting started. Yeah. All right. So we are halfway through our list. So stay with us. We are on number 4 of the list of 7 deadly sins of organizing, and that is not making decisions. Yeah. And that might be a little confusing for some listeners. So help us out here, Leanna. What are we talking about?
All right. Well, on average, we make about 35,000 decisions a day. That's a lot of decision making.
Oh my goodness. And I'm overwhelmed just thinking about it.
Right. And when we're getting organized, we add on even more decisions to the mix. You know, we have to decide, do I want to keep this or give it away? Do I love it? Do I like it? Do I want to organize my clothes by, color or by season? Right. So you see, we start at making all these decisions. And then we kind of fall into what they call decision fatigue, right? We just can't do anymore. And so when we get to that point, that's when we start going, I'll decide later. Later. Which is in itself a decision, I guess you could say, of not making a decision. And it can put a damper on our organizing efforts.
Yeah. It made me think of my husband's a fan of Rush. And one of their songs says, if you decide not to decide, you still have made a choice. And Barbara, so one of the most well-known organizers as far as their material, their writing, is Barbara Hemphill. She's a friend and a fellow member of Faithful Organizers. And she said, clutter is nothing more than postponed decisions. Yeah. She even trademarked that. So if we just, it's so easy for clutter to build up when we're like, oh, I don't know, I'll just put it here for now. I'll just do this for now, you know. And so try as best you can to just make those decisions and go with it. Or, you know, it'll be helpful if you work in small periods of time, small sections, you know. Also, that will kind of decrease the amount of decisions. And also, you want to avoid those dirty words of organizing. That was in season 1, episode 3. So resist the urge to avoid the decisions if you don't want to get stuck in your organizing efforts.
Yeah. And it's really easy not to make a decision when you're afraid. And a lot of times, you know, we don't make a decision because we're afraid we'll make the wrong decision, right? If I decide to give this away, what if I need it again, right? We have to be really careful with that, because it can really lead us down some difficult paths in our organizing efforts. So,
yes.
All right. You've probably heard the saying, a place for everything and everything in its place. Well, there's a reason for that, right, Angie?
Oh my goodness. Yes. The most important principle of all the organizing principles is having established homes for things. Makes a huge difference. I talk a lot on this podcast about the importance of having regular times of picking things up every day that you can. If you have a home for everything, then that process is so easy because you just like, oh, here's this, it goes here, this goes here, this goes here, boom, boom, boom. If you don't have established homes, oh, it's just a frustrating process. You waste a lot of time saying, I wonder where I should put this. Where should this go? So having established homes is just really critical.
Yeah. And when we don't have homes and we don't know where to put things, and we'll just lay it right back down and not deal with it. And then that's how the clutter piles up. It can.
And that's back to like not making a decision. Where does it? Oh, well, I don't. Oh, well, I'll just put it here for now. I'll just do this for now. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. So it can definitely sin multiplying on top of sin, right? I love that. All right, we're down to our last 2 sins. And the next one is something that is a problem that I don't think most people even realize is a problem in their organized efforts. And that is comparing your efforts to things you see online, in magazines, or on TV. Now, thanks to Pinterest and the growing number of shows and magazines that focus on organizing these days, we've come to believe that if our efforts don't match up to what we see others doing, then we feel like a failure. And that really can keep us from keeping on.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a quote by Teddy Roosevelt that I think is really helpful here. And it's, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah.
And it's so true. We talk a lot on this podcast about each of us having our own organizing style and organizing in a way that is best suited for your style, for your personality, for your lifestyle. And if you're, if you don't do that and you say, oh no, I want it to look like this because I watched this episode of the Home Edit, or this is the way this picture on Pinterest. And if you're not going to do it in a way that works for you, well, you're wasting your efforts. It may look great, but the other thing too, to keep in mind with a lot of the, you know, the shows and the magazines, those are not real environments. You know, they've spent time to stage this. And we're living real lives in our real homes. And so you're just setting yourself up for disappointment if that's the standard that you're using.
Yeah, for sure. It's like I like to say, just you do you, boo, right? Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate yourself by comparing yourself to others. It's our differences that make us unique and beautiful, right? And so when we try to blend in and do what everybody else is doing, it just really doesn't even work. So please stop the comparison game. All right. Well, we've reached the end of our list with sin number 7, which comes full circle with how we started this episode about what we think. And sin number 7 is faulty thinking with our organizing efforts.
This is good. So think about how many times you've heard someone say this, or maybe even said this yourself, in about trying to get organized. I can't do this. It's not in my nature. I wasn't born this way. It's not in my genes. I don't need to do this. This is too hard. Or I am so disorganized, I will never get it all done. It's just all too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are things that we've heard clients say when it gets tough. And what we don't realize sometimes is the power that our words have over us. And, you know, part of the journey to getting organized is thinking about how we think. And, you know, if we want to have orderly lives, we've got to manage our thoughts.
Yeah. It says, you know, there's a saying, it says, as a man thinks, so he is. Mm-hmm. And so our minds can be the devil's playground if we give him the space. And he would love nothing more to make you believe that you can't be organized, because then you would be a reflection of God's glory, right? Mm-hmm. And so he does not want that for you. At all. And so, like it says in Ephesians 6, we need to put on the helmet of salvation and protect our minds from faulty thinking and focus on what is true and good. Like it says in Ephesians 6, 10, 11, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want to focus on truth. And that truth is that God is a God of order, and he wants you to have an orderly life and reflect him.
Yeah. Okay, well, that wraps up this episode of the Uncluttered Podcast. I know it was a lot, but we hope it's been fun and helpful way for you to understand the mistakes you might be making as you work towards an orderly life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks so much for listening to us. If you enjoyed today's episode, we hope you'll take just a few minutes to leave us a review or a rating that will help other people find us. I know when I'm looking for a podcast or a book or whatever, I will look at those ratings and reviews. And if I see a lot of really good ones, then I'll say, hey, this is worthwhile. So we would be so appreciative if you take the time for that.
Yes. And don't forget to check out our website, uncluttered.faith, where we have additional organizing tips and ideas, a free gift when you sign up for our newsletter, and information on how you can buy our book of devotions, Uncluttered, Shaping Your Heart and Home for What Matters Most.
Yes. Oh, and our next episode, we're really excited about. It'll be live on September 25th, 2024. And we have a special guest, Gwen Smith. She's a business owner, speaker, worship leader, songwriter, recording artist. She's written 4 books. And the reason Leanna and I know about her is because she has this wonderful song called Uncluttered. And so since we have a podcast and a book, Uncluttered, we knew we needed to try to find her. And she agreed to be a guest. And we know you're going to learn from her. She's wonderful. So don't miss our next episode. And until next time, remember, an uncluttered life is an abundant life.